Let There Be Light. From Flashbangs and Frag Grenades. By Calchexis. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on League of Legends by Riot Games. Chapter 43. Murder Make. After the plagues, the 4th District had been nearly emptied due to being adjacent to the Northern Plague Quarter. Those multiple districts, which had been tacitly joined together and had all the sick and dying who couldn't afford treatment shoved into one place. Unsurprisingly, its adjacent districts suddenly became far less appealing places to live and saw a mass exodus. That was an easy enough thing now that so many had either joined the cadres or otherwise fled the warring cities for more peaceful climes. That action led to a relatively sparse civilian population that only grew thinner as the plague scoured the city, resulting in a piltover that had never been so quiet in all of its existence, the 4th District especially. Or at least it had been quiet. Thanks to the extensive scouting performed by Zack, months of careful excavation by the Grey Legion at the direction of the few Zaunites capable of surviving the lowest parts of the tunnels had allowed them to open passageways that had been sealed for generations. Passageways that the Piltovans would have neglected to guard, much to their discontent. There really was something to be said about combining Noxian architectural siege smithing with tunnel-wise Zaunite engineering know-how. It opened so many doors, some of them quite literal.
Kill everything!
Lady Ferris Narati snapped a hand imperiously out as hundreds of lost souls, their skin gray as the namesake of their legion, rushed past her in a storm of the dead, pouring out of the once sealed and unguarded sewage service tunnels of the 4th District.
Bring me bodies, weapons, and armor! The Legion needs new recruits! For Noxus!
For Noxus!
The echo was a sonorous wail pushed by the unbreathing lungs of the long dead.
And burn everything else!
A low, rasping voice added as Singed moved up beside her. His enormous tower shield held easily at his side as his chemthrower squads moved up in support of Ferris's Legion. It wasn't often that Ferris Narati felt put off by anyone. Considering what she did and how she did it, that much should have been obvious. Her work entailed the selective dismantling of corpses, careful dissection or occasionally vivisection of particular bodies, and applications of bleeding-edge sorceries to coax them back to life. None of this disturbed Ferris in the slightest, and in truth, it never had. She preferred the dead to the living, to be honest. They were more malleable and significantly less malodorous once they had been properly embalmed. Singed was a categorically different creature altogether, though. And there was nothing human about him, nothing mortal either, really. It wasn't anything physical about him. His grotesquely skeletal physicality might disturb others, but Ferris found that aspect of him to be almost comforting. No, the thing about Singed that bothered her was that she could never tell what he was thinking, or even if she could, she could never parse out why. Everything was an experiment to him. That much she had gleaned, and she admired that. He was utterly single-minded in his pursuit of theory and practice, and in that respect they actually got along swimmingly. Neither had the time or energy to quibble about prosaic nuances like ethics or morality. Not when there was truth. Ultimately, Ferris realized it was that Singed's mind was as alien to her as hers was, likely to other people. She felt for Singed what she presumed others felt in her own presence. And it was actually a bit amusing.
Lady Narati! Master Singed!
One of Narati's little lost souls came up to kneel before them both.
We've encountered resistance. The Piltovans are pushing back from the south.
Disposition? Ferris asked.
Mostly cadre with Damasian knights forming a hard center column, but my lady, they have blackguards, he said.
Interesting.
Singed hefted his shield.
Keep your forces on task, raiding the district. We need the resources and you need the bodies. I'll take my warband south.
Ferris Narati raised an eyebrow. And do what exactly, Doctor? He eyed her quizzically over the layers of cloth and bandages covering his mouth and quite calmly said,
Science, dear lady. I'll be doing science.
It will prove an excellent field test for my new Ken-enhanced hoax, now that Smeech's exoframes have been installed.
She gave him a thin smile as he left. Again, it irked her how easily he could make her feel off-kilter. Ferris turned back to supervising the raid. As impressive as the Zonites were at making something out of almost literally nothing, quality materials were still necessary for certain things. That Hextech monstrosity Victor had been very clear that his latest machine, one that he thought might give them a means of ending the war outright, would not function without certain rare metals and materials that simply weren't available from the trenches, no matter how deep they mined. Ferris chuckled at the thought of that, of how casually he had announced that he'd found a way to win the war in a single fell swoop. Perhaps that was why the Triferex had deployed her in the Grey Legion. Swain had been so insistent on removing their civilian interests from Zaun, and so it had baffled her at how easily he had ordered her presence in the benighted city. Now, though, having encountered Zaun's forces, Ferris thought she understood his reasoning. They were two of a kind, in a way. Zaun was the dark brother to Bright Piltover, much like Noxus was to Demacia. Both nations had bloody grudges against their sibling nation. The difference was that, try as they might, Noxus had never managed to break up Demacia, regardless of their military might, whereas Zaun had repeatedly risen victorious, for lack of a better term, against Piltover. It was the nature of Noxus to evolve, to study and learn and strengthen itself from both the mistakes and the successes of those around it. To take in strength and discard weakness lay at the core of being Noxian, and Zaun was surprisingly strong. Yes, that was why Swain had changed tactics so swiftly. He had withdrawn business and civilian interests because those things were essentially Piltover, and he had done so because it was not Piltover's strength that he wanted, it was Zaun's. It was their underhanded, unbreakable, and unyielding canniness which allowed them to draw up from the trenches and to drag their betters down to their level. "How very Noxian," Ferris mused. It didn't change the fact that Singed put a shiver down her spine. Then a shiver of a wholly different sort passed through her and she grimaced. "Speaking of Noxian," she turned her head just slightly to look over her right shoulder. "You are nothing compared to the killers of the Noxian court."
"Yes."
A soft clicking sound heralded movement in the shadows near Ferris as a figure of dark stained metal stepped free of them. The former champion Oriana was graceful as a dancer as she tiptoed forward on legs that ended in tapered blades. A dull hum issued from behind her as that curious ball, which was now decorated with spinning razors, set itself into orbit around her. Mechanical blue eyes settled dispassionately on Ferris, and Oriana cocked her head curiously as a dozen revenants, each made from the body of a career assassin, equipped with sorcerously treated armor and twin blades enchanted to cleave through steel, folded out of the shadows around Ferris. Her own personal guard, the Murder Make. "A clever if childish attempt at assassination," Ferris drawled. "Tell me, would you like to die fighting or running?" Oriana cocked her head in the other direction, then said in a voice like a chirping bird,
"Situation within acceptable parameters. Enabling system doctrine. Purge."
"Break her!"
Ferris barked. And the revenants moved as one. As her risen killers dashed past her, Ferris threw her cloak aside, baring the matte steel plates of her armor as she drew out a crimson-filled vial in each hand and unstoppered them with her thumbs. The arcane flowed freely through her and from her, singing with the blood captured in the vials as she drew it out and around herself in a circle. One of her assassins fell, bisected at the middle in the seconds it took her to make those rote motions. For whatever Oriana lacked in stealth, she made up for it in sheer, bloody ability to commit slaughter. Every one of the dozen that were Ferris's murder make were once assassins of the highest royal caliber. They were the killers of dukes and counts, capable of penetrating even the most closely guarded parlors and bedchambers of High Noxus. Every single one of them had been painstakingly collected after their deaths, had their spirits coaxed back from the Shadow Isles to be carefully laid back into their bodies, bodies which were then infused with vial upon vial of enchanted blood, making them stronger than they'd ever been in life. And they had been so very strong. And Orianna was taking them apart like dolls. They moved in concert, half keeping the Piltoven killing machine at bay while the other half danced with her bladed drone as it hummed, whirred, and cut through the air.
Get back up!
Ferris snarled as she wove the blood around herself in a flowing crimson moat before sending a stream of it out, shot like a bolt from a ballista. The blood struck the fallen revenant, splitting up to flow half into each side of the revenant's remains. A moment later, tendrils of blood shot out from the ruined torso to join with its separated pelvis and pulled the body back together. Pallid flesh sealed like waxy clay, and the revenant was suddenly up and moving again as if it had never been slain. Ferris flicked her fingers out like she was strumming the strings of a lyre and sent 11 droplets of blood flying out to collide with her other revenants. The blood seeped into open wounds, grievous cuts, and nearly severed limbs, and by Ferris's will, began rapidly repairing the damage. But it wasn't going to be enough. Lady Ferris Narati was, after all, more than just a blood witch of Noxus. She was the general of the Grey Legion. She directed hundreds of skirmishes over a half-dozen campaigns, and over her long and storied military career, she had learned to quickly gauge the direction of a battle, both large and small-scaled. Her Grey Legion was unique because they would never complain and never tire, and their bodies would never give out under the strain. They were machines of flesh and blood and sorcery made for killing and very little else. The problem was that Piltover had, quite simply, made a better machine. And not by a small margin. The revenants struck at Orianna like a well-trained pack of hunting hounds, harrying her metal limbs while one struck for her body, but as fast as they were, she was so much faster. Her arms and legs snapped, clicked, and rotated in ways no mortal limbs could have, deflecting attacks and notching the revenant's enchanted twin blades with her own superior armaments. Limbs fell and were reattached by Ferris's magic, only to be severed again almost as quickly until sweat was beating at her forehead and neck, and her breath was coming in heavy puffs. Then one revenant fell into too many pieces for Ferris to repair without sacrificing two or three more for the time it would take to do so. Then another fell, and another, while Orianna cut her way forward. With every fallen revenant, the others fell all the quicker, taking seconds for each, and Ferris cursed in every tongue she knew as she backed up step by step. She couldn't even call for aid anymore. All of her voice and breath and time was taken up uncorking more blood from her reserves and directing it to pull her remaining revenants back together to buy another 4 or 5 seconds of life, while Orianna continued to carve through the unquiet dead.
Situation approaching nominal,
Orianna chirped as she sliced another of Ferris's murder-make into 4 separate pieces. More and more blood poured from Ferris's vials. Every drop of enchanted blood took hours to distill. In less than a minute of combat, she had spilled months' worth of effort and magic that she might have used to replenish her legion's cannon fodder twice over was flowing in an obscene display of power and wealth which was amounting to less than nothing against the machinery of Piltover's killing doll and her toy ball. The last of Ferris's revenants struck the ground in a grotesque display of battlefield dissection, while Ferris herself surrounded uncorked the last of her vials and drew the blood around herself in a veil. How long had it been since she'd fought like this? How long since she'd employed her hemomancy in the old way, sharpening it to a sanguine blade that would add to its edge with every cut dealt to an enemy? Any enemy except Orianna, of course. That was undoubtedly why they had sent her, rather than anyone else. The question was, how had they known? The tunnels that they had used had been collapsed for so long that they hadn't been used in living memory, a century at least. Not even Camille had been alive for their use, so how had they known? And then it hit her. There wasn't enough of Piltover's forces here for them to have known. And if they had, then why wouldn't they have stationed as much as possible in the wings to collapse on them? That's what Ferris would have done had it been her. It was a trap. Singed, chem-hanced hulks bashed into the blackguards. And they were doing far better than the crude horrors that had been used in the Battle of the Sungate. It was a shame that the fight had resulted in the sacrifice of Warwick. He'd been both a perfect specimen and, like Jinx, one of the last products of true shimmer. All around him, his cam-hanced beasts and assorted horrors overran the company of Demacian soldiers, while the dense knot of black-armored cadre fought tooth and nail. It was a testament to their hardiness that despite that human stature, they could fight toe-to-toe with Singed creations and hold their own, for the time being at least. Then the horn sounded. Frowning, Singed turned to scowl down the streets to his left and right. What was once an empty, plague-riddled cityscape was filling with the sound of approaching reinforcements. Singed counted two Demacian three horns, three companies, all from different directions. A trap, then. There was no other way that Piltover could have been prepared to collapse so many troops on a single point so quickly. Even with Demacian aid, they lacked the logistical training to move in mere moments, especially when, as far as Singed could tell, the company his own warband was clashing against hadn't made any call for aid. That meant scouts or possible Hextech drones from Clan Pharos were keeping an eye on things, no matter. Everything would fall as it would, and in the meantime he would gather valuable data. Speaking of which, one of the blackguards had broken from the scrum near the center street and was charging silently at him. Singed tracked his heavy footfalls, estimated his weight, over 200 kilos between augments and kit, then moved his shield out from between them, raised an arm, and triggered the pressure nodule on his armored palm. A stream of thick, gray adhesive spewed from the pressurized nozzle at his wrist. The blanket attempted to dodge, but even with both Hextech and chem-enhanced reflexes, it wasn't quite enough. One foot and a part of a shin was caught in the stream, and the blanket jerked to a stop. His dodge roll arrested by the thickening glue which Singed calmly continued to spray over him, sealing him in a web of the stuff. Every second slowed him more and more until the blackguard was rendered essentially inert as Singed walked calmly up to him.
"I'm afraid I only have a few moments before your allies join the battle," Singed said as he set down his shield, reached out, and gripped the blackguard's helmet. "But I would love a look under the hood, as it were. So if you don't mind."
And there was a cracking sound as Singed broke the seals around the blackguard's helmet and a hiss of foul-smelling air issued from within. A hermetic seal, very interesting. Singed drew the helmet off and let it fall away, and took a moment to examine what he found underneath.
"My, my," Singed murmured. "Our dear Miss Pharos has been busy, hasn't she?"
Underneath the helmet was something that could only charitably be called human. It wasn't really, though. Not anymore. There was more metal than flesh. And from the pallid complexion and faint whiff of rot beneath the chemical preservatives and antiseptics, Singed guessed this one was suffering extreme rejection syndrome. Most of them probably were. The face was practically dead, stretched over metal bones and around the gleaming, Hextech-augmented eyes that glowed balefully blue. The only reason they weren't all screaming and rolling around on the ground begging for death was because whatever had been done to them had likely stripped them of their ability to feel pain at all. That, and the archaic chemtech that Victor had identified, was all that was keeping these wretches as viable combatants. Even then, without all of their gear, they were essentially invalid.
"Subject presents severe necrosis consistent with partial rejection syndrome of multiple implants," Singed murmured as he gripped the blackguard's head and turned it this way and that. "Subject displays 60, no," he squeezed the head gently, 85% cranial implantation. "Subject has regone a full skull reinforcement, with complete ocular implants and jaw replacement. Likely possesses crude cerebral enhancements, or possible inhibitors. This deviates from the Sungate model considerably. Subject also displays noticeable stridor when breathing, and, he appears to be choking to death. Interesting."
Singe let go and stepped back as the blackguard began to spasm fitfully, then vomited a stream of black bile before going slack in death. As far as combatants went, that had been singularly disappointing.
"Memo to me," Singed said as he picked up his shield.
current blackguard model requires a breathing apparatus. How quaint. They were apparently as fragile as they were powerful. But there was no more time for such work, enjoyable though it may be. Even with the second detachment of Grey Legionnaires fighting alongside his hulks and horrors, the sheer volume of reinforcements approaching, assuming they were retaining their standard logistical deployments, would overrun them in moments.
"I suppose I'll have to occupy them then," Singe said quietly as he walked out into the center of the crossroads, raised his shield,
and began adjusting the valves of the great canister on his back, as well as the supporting adjunct canisters hanging from his belt, fine-tuning the mixture for maximum spread. Singe hunkered down, taking a knee while he calmly continued to work as the twang of bowstrings from his right heralded the crash and thud of heat-treated steel arrowheads smashing off of the shield he was sheltering beneath. One or two managed to slip past, only to strike his pauldron. Then the snap and bark of Tystal carbines added to the chorus. From his left, the crash of boots suggested a company of Demacians and Cadver close-quarters infantry. Good. More test subjects.
"Enough!" a sonorous voice called out. "You, Zonite! You're surrounded! Lay down your arms and surrender, and you will be treated as a prisoner of war!"
That was new. Raising an eyebrow, Singed turned to look out from behind his shield at the silver-clad Demacian knight standing at the head of the veritable host that was moving to surround him. She was quite a specimen of humanity, tall and patrician with noble features common to the finest Demacian soldiers. Not pedigreed, though, as far as Singed could tell, not a true noble then. And yet the whole of the host deferred to her. Very interesting.
"Your face is known to me," she continued darkly. "You are Singed, the mad chemist of Zaun. Your crimes are well known to Piltover, as are your criminal dealings with Noxus. But if you agree to turn against Zaun in this war and provide useful intelligence, I can promise a fair trial and treatment."
Then she raised her blade at him in an almost comic act of chivalric posturing.
"Or you may die like the dog you are on the ground, hiding beneath a bit of scrap metal."
Singed ran a scarred hand over his bald pate.
"Demacians really are a breed apart, aren't they?" he rumbled. "Not a single advancement in culture or science in centuries, and all for what? Tradition? How charmingly antiquated."
"Then your choice is death," she asked.
"Cythria of Cloudfield, isn't it?"
Singed said over her, and she faltered.
"You're an interesting specimen. Do try not to die, won't you?"
And he flicked the switch at the base of his canister. And an explosion of venomously green gas detonated out from the dozens of cleverly hidden pressure nozzles like a fog bank. And it fell over the hosts of Demacian and Cadra alike.
"I love field work," Singed murmured as the screaming started.
The text of this story is available on AO3. Music by Dot Matrix. If you would like me to record a story, voice over a character, get in touch using the contact information available on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find other stories that I've read, as well as a link to my Discord server, where I record things live for your enjoyment. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.